What's up, everybody? Great to see you guys. Always a treat for me to get to come here to Pine Lake and give Chip a break and just get to hang out with you guys. Want to welcome all of our campuses all over Mississippi. Really cool that through the miracle of technology, we get to do this together. And I've been really praying all week long that God would do something unexpected in your heart today, that maybe you would just get kind of ambushed by the grace of God. Now, many of you know that I'm a transplanted Kentucky guy that lives in Southern California these days, and I have a very unique job description. I teach at three different churches primarily, and one of the churches that I also, the fourth church I kind of get to do out there, my kids started a church in Ventura about 5 years ago now. They meet in a movie theater, and it's fun for me. On Wednesday mornings, we do this thing called Man Up for the whole month of February. And we started actually a few weeks before the Super Bowl, which, by the way, was an incredible game. Sorry, Atlanta Falcon fans, but it was an incredible game. Well, we started doing this, I guess you'd kind of call it like a football-themed series that we're calling After Further Review. And what we're doing is we're kind of like those NFL referees do, where they'll go under the hood, so to speak, and go to the replay monitor and take a closer look at the play. We decided it would be a good idea to maybe, as guys, go to this replay monitor and take God with us and go, God, take a closer look at my life. Search me, O God. Is there anything in me that you're like throwing a flag on right now? And after further review, God, whatever you say, the play is going to stand, and I'm going to go to work on that. And we kind of took different penalties. Like the first week we did false start, how a lot of us live with hurry sickness. We don't have much patience going on in our life. Now the Holy Spirit of God wants to build patience into our life. Last week, we did a talk on unnecessary roughness, where we talked about how we all could use a dose of gentleness in our life toward ourselves, toward other people. I think next week we're doing holding, just holding on to things that you shouldn't hold on to, like your past and revenge and bitterness and that kind of stuff. Then I think we're going to wrap it up with blocking the back, how criticism and gossip can just blindside you out of nowhere sometimes, and how do you deal with difficult people, and how do you keep from becoming a difficult person that dishes out that kind of stuff? And we're learning that the great news is whenever you go to the replay monitor with God and say, search me, oh God, take a closer look at my life, well, God reveals some stuff that you need to go to work on, and then he's able to move inside and transform you from the inside out and turn you in to his best version of you. But the one I really wanted to do with the guys, and I ran out of weeks to do it, I wanted to do one called face mask, because the face mask is such an important part of football equipment, right? And I was thinking how football players really aren't the only ones that wear a face mask. Can you think of some others that might wear a face mask? Like umpires do, catchers do, asbestos removal guys do, welders wear a mask, firefighters do, surgeons do, germaphobes on an airplane do. In fact, honestly, sometimes we all wear masks. I ran across some winners in the annual word smash-up contest that the Washington Post runs, where people send in words that they've created, like taking a couple words and smashing them together. Here are a few of my favorites from recent winners. Coffee. That's the person that's coughed upon. There's the cougher, and then there's the coffee, right? You've been the coffee. I love this one, abdicate. That's to give up all hope of ever having a flat stomach. I've just abdicated that, right? What about this one, yo guy? It's the only guy in the yoga class. Don't be the yo guy, okay? Esplanade, to attempt an explanation while drunk. Now, let me esplanade, officer. Frisbeetarianism, I thought this one was funny. The belief that when you die, your soul goes up on the roof and gets stuck there. And my favorite of all of them was Pokemon. That's a Jamaican proctologist. Pokemon, all right, right. So here's one that I made up after years of working with all kinds of people now. Hypophrenic. That's a person who knows they're sick, but they keep saying, I'm fine. I'm just fine. You know, one of the values that Pine Lake holds as a church is authenticity. I mean, I hope you know that this is a place where it's okay to not be okay. And that value is so central because it is so countercultural to this mask-wearing world that we live in that is so concerned about image. Now, I know, of course, you know, projecting the right kind of image is really not that big a deal in Mississippi, right? But you'd be amazed how the rest of the people in this country go through life trying to keep up appearances, trying to project a certain kind of image. I ran across a little video just a few months ago. It made me laugh. Let me just show it to you just for fun. Check this out.
My name's Jeff, and I'm an Instagram husband. Behind every cute girl on Instagram is a guy like me and a brick wall.
My name's Trey. I'm an Instagram husband. I've had to delete all of the apps off my phone just to make more room for more photos.
Hi, I'm Nate, and I'm an Instagram husband. I love my life so much.
My job in pictures is to make her look good.
I want you to just take a picture like higher, no higher, higher, higher. Babe, higher.
I'm basically a human selfie stick. Go.
What are you doing in here? Taking a picture of all your stuff? Yeah, this is a good moment. I support that. Oh, wait, just a second. I should probably comment on this. It helps me out if I'm the first one to comment. Cute.
It's become a pretty big problem. We take so long to get anywhere because we're taking pictures of our feet.
Oh, shoe pick. No, this one's better. No, stop. Move your foot. Okay, can we hold hands? One more. I like this leaf right here.
Yeah, we used to eat our food. Now we just take pictures of it.
We used to eat our food. Now we just take pictures of it. Now, I am not anti-social media. I'm not anti-selfies or posting cute pictures and stuff like that. I think there's some really great things about it all. But you got to admit, we live in a culture right now where it is easier to project a certain image. And then we can even filter it so that we can be seen in a certain light. And there are so many apps out there that can help us appear important, can help us appear more known. Did you know there are apps where you can actually buy likes and you can buy followers and comments and appear to be popular instantly? There are even apps where you can pay to have a fake girlfriend or a fake boyfriend so that you can appear to be texting in this great relationship, not to mention the endless apps that can enhance our physical appearance. You can filter, whiten your teeth, erase pimples, smooth out your wrinkles. You can even, you know, Photoshop yourself, slim down, take off a few pounds before you ever post that picture. It has never been easier to fake appearances. It's never been easier to fake relationships and to fake experiences and to fake perfection. It's never been easier to go through life faking fine. I'm fine, really. When actually we're pretty empty on the inside. And so many of us in our emptiness, in our loneliness, in our frustration, we get thinking, you know what? Faking fine is exhausting. I'm tired of doing this. There's got to be more to this life than projecting an image. In fact, there's got to be something in this life that's real. So we decide, well, you know, I don't know, maybe it's God. I got this buddy at work that's been telling me I'm missing the God piece in my life. So maybe I ought to check that out. And so we go on a faith journey, and we find ourselves standing at a crossroad. I read a great illustration by an author named John Lynch, and when I read it, I thought, man, that's my story. That's my own personal journey of faith in my search for God. And we stand in front of a crossroad, and there's just two roads. One that points down the road of pleasing God, the other points down the road of trusting God. Just two roads. I mean, I can remember like it was yesterday, standing at this crossroad and going, which direction do you go? I mean, trusting God, what is that? I mean, that just sounds so like ethereal, so vague. I mean, what do you do? Trusting God. And no one's ever told me about that God is love. So I'm thinking, why would I trust somebody that I don't really know? I'm not even sure I really like them. Because the God I've heard about is not the God I really want to trust. So then I get thinking, well, maybe this pleasing God road's the right way to go, because I am a doer. I'm a driven kind of guy. I'm an achiever. Maybe, in fact, the reason my life is so empty is maybe because God's like dishing out punishment on me for not pleasing him all these years. So I figured, well, I'll give that road a shot. So I start down the road of pleasing God. As I walk down this road, I kind of take some comfort in the fact that the road is kind of well-worn. I can tell like a lot of people through the years have been up and down this road, and I get thinking, you know, this looks like it's the right direction. Maybe if I just do better, my life will be better. Maybe if I just start pleasing God enough, because obviously I've ticked him off in some way, maybe things will start changing. Maybe, who knows, if I do enough, maybe even I'll earn a spot in heaven. And as I walk down this road, I get to a clearing. There's this huge building. Across the front of the building is a banner that says, "Be all that God expects you to be." And I get thinking, I can do this. You know what? I have not been living up to God's expectations. I will try super hard to please God. I'm a hard worker. I can do this. And maybe, just maybe, if I could try to please God, it would like change everything about my life. So I walk to the front door of this huge, impressive-looking building. And above the doorknob is a little sign that says, "Self-effort." I look at it for a second and go, I've been doing that all my life. I can do this. So I turn it easily because I am pretty strong. And I walk into this enormous room. I mean, grand architecture, stained glass everywhere, lots and lots of marble and lots of beautiful people. And once inside, a friendly hostess kind of meets me there and says, "Welcome to the Cathedral of Good Intentions." And I said, well, that sounds pretty good, because I want to be seen as a guy that's got like good intentions. So I say, you know what, thanks. I think this just might be what I've been looking for. So I say, how are you today? And before she answers, she pauses for a moment, reaches into her purse, and she pulls out a mask, bearing a thin smile, and says, "I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine. And how are you?" Well, the entire room grows silent, waiting for my response. And I say, well, honestly, I'm kind of screwed up. I'm really struggling with some stuff. I feel extremely empty. I got a bunch of questions about life. I got a bunch of questions about God. My life is not what I want it to be. I'm not who I want to be. I'm pretty frustrated. I wrestle, honestly, with envy and anger, and insecurity, and she cuts me off, and she puts a finger to my lips, and she hands me a similar mask, and I look around the room, I can see like everybody's wearing one now, so I get thinking, okay, dude, don't get so vulnerable your first day here, don't be so real, just play along. So slowly, I bring the mask up to my face, and I say, what I meant to say was, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm just fine. And with that, everybody turns back to the conversations that they were having. Well, I start walking around, and I notice there are rules, like posted everywhere. All kinds of lists of things saying, like, do this, and God might be pleased. And a big banner that says, behavior modification will set you free. And there seems to be like these little warning signs posted everywhere that says, this room is under constant divine surveillance. Don't screw up. So I get thinking, well, maybe that's the way this old God thing works, you know? Maybe that's just the way it is. I mean, these people seem happy. At least that's what the mask, you know, portray. they seem to be like sold out to doing things right. Maybe they are discovering that striving to please God, or at least keeping from becoming like displeased, maybe that does bring deep soul satisfaction. Maybe it is like keeping all the rules and doing all the religious rituals. Maybe that does change everything in a person's life. So at least I got to give it a shot. And I do. But as days turn into weeks and weeks turn into months, I can't help but notice how many people in this room aren't really happy. They're even a little cynical, a little bit jaded. There's very little joy. There's a whole lot of judgment. And when they like do slip up and let their mask drop, I see traces of pain and hopelessness and loneliness and the exact same emptiness that led me on my search in the first place. And I try really, really hard. I do. But that stifling atmosphere and like wearing a mask all the time just becomes hard to breathe. And I just grow weary of keeping up appearances. I grow weary of faking it. And I feel emptier than I've ever felt in my life. And I make a run for the door and I promise to myself, I will never set foot in that place ever again. And I'm just guessing some of you have been there too. So I retrace my steps and I come back right to where I started, that same crossroad. And I look at those two signs again thinking, pleasing God, trusting God. There's got to be like a third road. Maybe there's a combo road or something. The trusting God, what is that? It just sounds like you got nothing to do. Trusting God. And as I stand there, I can hear all those voices from the cathedral of good intentions saying, come on, man, all you got to do is stop it. Just stop that. Stop this. You know, suck it up. Commit more. Try harder. Be better. Just be holier. Just get in line and keep the rules. And then maybe, just maybe. Well, I start walking down the road of trusting God, and I notice one thing. It's not nearly as worn as the other path. And I get thinking, man, if this road doesn't lead me where I need it to go, I'm just done with this whole God search thing. But I got no other game plan, so I just keep walking. I know I don't want to go back to where I started, and I know I don't want to go back to that joyless, mask-wearing kind of place, so I keep walking. And as I walk, I come to another clearing, and there's a less impressive-looking building there. It's got a little, like, welcome mat out front, and it's got some pretty flowers planted, but not super, just kind of simple-looking. And I walk up to the front door, and I notice a little sign over the doorknob. And this sign reads, humility. I look at that doorknob for a long time. A long time. And I finally think, that's it, isn't it? That's it. I have tried so hard. I've applied all the self-effort, all the willpower. It's just left me frustrated, left me insecure, and I've run out of ability. I've run out of answers. So I just stand there and I cry out, okay, God, if you are real, if anything good is to come out of this whole deal, you're going to have to do it, because you know what? I have tried and I have searched and I'm tired and I'm empty and I can't keep doing this anymore. You just got to help me. And with those words, I finally turn the doorknob of humility and I step inside. As soon as I step inside, another hostess approaches me with a great smile, friendly voice, and she says, welcome to the room of grace. And I say, well, yeah, thanks. She says, how you doing? Well, I've been there before, and I'm not going to get duped into that again. So I reach in my backpack, and I pull out that old mask that I used to wear at the other place, and I lift it up, and I say, I'm fine. Yeah, I am just fine. And everybody in the room grows quiet. All eyes are on me, and because of my other experience, I think it's stares of judgment that they're giving me. So I stand there for a while, and I just throw down my mask, and I say, you know what? I'm not fine. Yeah. So there, you know? Haven't been fine in a long time. I'm tired. I'm guilty. I'm lonely. I'm filled with regret. I got a mountain of shame in my life. I can't make my life work. I struggle with envy and lust and anger and bitterness. I mean, if you knew half of my daily thoughts, you would kick me out of your little self-righteous club. And I spin on my heel and I head toward the door. And I hear a voice from the back of the room say, "That all you got? All right, I see your bad thoughts, your guilt, and your envy, and I'll raise you convulsive drinking, jail time, and bankruptcy. You better have more than that on your puny little list if you're going to play in our league." And I turn around, I see everybody smiling. And the hostess leans over and says, "I think he means you're welcome here." And that guy in the back of the room walks through the crowd, embraces me in this huge bear hug. And I am welcomed into a family of kind, painfully real people who are experiencing this amazing transformational thing called the grace of God. And I look around, and there's not a mask to be found anywhere. And there's no like endless list of rules posted all over the walls, no creepy surveillance signs. Just a few signs saying things like, "Just come as you are. Just come as you are." Another sign over there that says, "Grace happens." Another sign that simply says, "No perfect people allowed here." Another sign that just says, "You matter. You matter to God." Across the front of the room is a big banner that reads, "The Room of Grace is a Me Too place. Let's work on our lives together. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come." As I walk around the Room of Grace, I see passages plastered all over the walls that come straight from the heart of a loving God, such as Ephesians chapter 2 that simply says, "But God, He's so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even when we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved." Another one hanging there says Romans chapter 5, "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time, and He died for all of us sinners." I see another one from Titus chapter 3 hanging there that says, "When God our Savior revealed His kindness and love, He saved us, not because of all the righteous things that we had done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit." And I turn around and I see this verse hanging there that talks about pleasing God. And it says, "It's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely, humbly seek Him." And I stand there in that moment and realize that what pleases God is when someone humbly trusts God to do what only He can do. To take away sin and shame, to clean the slate, to give them a fresh start, to give them hope and freedom and joy and life, to radically transform a human heart, to give the gift of eternal life. And I stand there in that moment, I think to myself, finally, oh man, this changes everything. So welcome to the Room of Grace, where no perfect people are allowed. You see, at Pine Lake, we believe that the end of image management, the end of the search for life and meaning and purpose and deep satisfaction, it stops right in front of the God of unfailing love. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, who gives grace to anyone who will humbly seek after Him. I'm talking about the God who laid down His life on a cross, the one who took the rap for our sins so that you and I could incredibly walk being declared not guilty. I'm talking about the eternal God who rose from the dead so that you and I could live forever. That God, the one true living God, extends hope and life and salvation to anyone who is willing to drop the mask and just surrender to His love and his leadership. And gang, I'm telling you, as a guy that's been down both of these roads, real life begins when you start trusting God to do for you what only he can do. The beginning of an astounding inside-out transformation happens when you start trusting God. Yeah, I learned to sing the song. You guys probably did too, those of you that grew up in church. Jesus loves me, this I know. I was probably about 2 years old, I guess, when I started singing that song. And to this day, it's still the deepest thing I've ever learned in my life. Still the most astounding theological stuff I've ever learned. Jesus loves me, this I know. But this one is almost equally transformational to me. Jesus knows me, this I love. He knows the real me, not the fake me. He knows the real you, not the fake you. And he loves us with this radical, unconditional love. I heard somebody say a few weeks ago that God never looked in your mirror and wished he saw someone else. I pray that you know you matter to God, unfiltered. You matter to God just the way you are. You don't get your act together and then you come to God. You just come to him as you are. Questions and all, confusion and all, guilt and all, no mask, no faking fine, no pretending. You just humbly come. I hope you know that you're welcome in the room of grace. In fact, I'm just guessing that you might be sitting in one of the largest collections of moral screw-ups in North America. There's lots of messiness at Pine Lake. I mean, some of us have wrestled with all kinds of sexual temptation, with pornography, with pride and ego, materialism and greed, with bigotry, with profanity, with alcohol, meth, heroin, you name it. We've battled envy, lying, bitterness, gossip, out-of-control tempers, revenge, stealing, cheating, broken relationships, and some really, really bad decisions. That's who we are. But we're learning to trust God to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. We're learning to let his love define who we are. And we're learning how now to lean into God's Spirit and apply his truth for the freedom that he wants to give us all. And we're learning to walk a new direction. And as a result, there's a whole bunch of us who really are walking free these days. And we're walking with purpose and passion, and this heart is just full of gratitude. There's lots and lots of changed and changing lives in this place. But it starts by walking down the road of just trusting God and humbly embracing what Jesus Christ has done for you. So I want to give you a chance at all of our campuses to do that right now. I want to invite you just to bow your heads where you're at. Let's just kind of work through this a little bit. You know, no matter where you've been in your life, no matter what you've done, even if you thought it was way too much, you can start over with God. God honors those who are willing to take off the mask and just be real with him. Oh, he honors sincere seekers. People that just come to him with a real, raw emotion and go, God, I need you. And I'm telling you, when you surrender to his love and leadership, when you really start trusting him to do for you what you can't do for yourself, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that his grace saves you. You can be secure and your forgiveness, knowing that his blood, it covers your sin, your past, your present, and your future mistakes. See, we believe that God loves us exactly the way we are right now. But he also loves us way too much to leave us there. And that's why when we trust him, he moves into our life. And through his Holy Spirit, he starts to continually transform our character from the inside out. And he really does make us a new creation. He turns us into people who are more and more like Jesus, the way he moved through this world. And because of Jesus, I'm telling you, there is hope for every single one of us. So maybe you could just like pray a prayer in your own way today, with your own words, or something like, Jesus, my life has been empty. I've tried a bunch of roads. Some roads I'm not real proud of. Roads that led me to a dead end. And actually, honestly, God, a lot of damage to myself and other people. And I'm here because, God, I wanted to start this journey toward you. And I want to take a step of trusting you today. I'm asking Jesus Christ to come into my life and forgive my sin. And I give you permission to lead my life. And I'm just guessing that there's some of us here that have kind of been down that road of pleasing God like I did for many years. Just that road of religion and all the stuff that comes with it. And you just, maybe you've been in church for a long time. And you're in that pattern of, you know, blow it, pray, promise, guilt, put on the mask and hide, try harder, fall, guilt, mask. You're just in that cycle. And God just wants to say to you, what pleases me when someone trusts me to transform them? Know that you're deeply loved. Walk in that truth. Know who you are. So, Father, wherever we're at on this journey, some of us just starting out, some of us have been on it for a while, we just want to take another step of trusting you more today. And Father, I pray that in all of our campuses today that step happens. God, thank you for being a God of second chances. Thanks for being a God that loves us as we are, with all of our junk. Thank you so much. And I pray it in Jesus' name.